Welcome to episode 388 of the official Game Stitch podcast. I'm Ryan Walton, and as always, I'm with Dan Reamer.
Dan Reamer's about here, but who's not here?
Producer Gerald. And so we don't know if you should be alarmed. We don't know if we should be alarmed.
Right.
We don't think he told us he wasn't going to be here.
I don't think he did, but he's not here.
He's gone.
Now, the important thing to remember is Ryan would be useless if he did tell us that he wasn't going to be here, because
Ryan
can't remember what he said 3 seconds ago.
True. But
I usually have a pretty good memory about these things, and I don't remember him saying he wasn't going to be here.
Right. So there's a chance he joins us midstream. There's a chance we have to send a search party out after the show. We don't know.
Yeah. I hope everything's okay.
Yeah. I really don't remember anything, but I feel like I remember you mentioning you might not be here next week. And that seems like it would have been a good segue for him to say, I'm not going to be here.
Right. That probably would have stuck, is what you're saying.
Right.
Right, right.
Yeah, because two of you would have been like, well, is no one going to be here, you know?
I get that.
You know?
Spoiler alert, I will not be here next week.
Right. When he said that was 2 weeks ago. But so it seems like if he said, I'm not going to be here in 2 weeks, Gerald would have said, hey, I'm not going to be here next week.
Yeah, I feel like that's a safe bet on your part. And I feel like that, particularly considering I had said I might not be here, it would have stuck that Gerald said, and I won't be here next week, don't forget.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
So thoughts and prayers with producer Gerald till we find out more.
Yeah.
Hopefully he
maybe
just
he's
overslept.
Just overslept.
Or he quit the show and forgot to shoot the email over.
He could have forgot to. Yeah, he could have done that. That I quit. Here's a dinosaur type thing, you know.
Yeah. It's still in his drafts, though.
Right.
You know, he didn't. He
forgot
to hit
send.
Yeah. So we don't know. We'll keep you posted if we shouldn't have made these jokes up front. We'll let you know. We'll apologize if that was the case.
This could turn out to be in very poor taste.
Yeah, like much of my life. So
we sure hope not. But
yep.
Hey, you know, you can't account for everything.
Yeah. If I just forgot, then I mean, just put that on the list of things I didn't remember, because that's that's a long ass list.
Right. Yeah.
I love when someone texts me or emails me and they're like, they're talking about something we said on the show.
Uh-huh.
I have no memory that the conversation even happened.
Do you not?
And I don't even know what I said, so I'm afraid to say too much because I don't even know what my opinion was when I said it.
Okay. Yeah, that's not good.
Because, you know, if I ask you your five favorite games ever now and in an hour, you might change your list, and especially the next day.
It could, yeah, could
or
change.
4 days later.
It's very, what's the word? Flexible.
Yeah, so when someone asks me something, and even if it's not that, just even if it's a story we talk about, my opinion can change day to day.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone asks me about something, I don't even remember talking about it. I have to really think. Sometimes I've gone back and actually listened to the part I was looking for. And I have to skip all around like a psychopath because I don't remember the conversation or when we might have even talked about it.
See, I think you and I are different in the opinion thing. My opinions usually stick until I get proof of a reason to change my mind on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of that way, but sometimes I think I'm, especially with the way that this show works. So we record on Sunday, and sometimes, you know, I try to pull the news throughout the week. Sometimes I'm grabbing stories Saturday night, and I just haven't had the right amount of time to process it yet.
Right.
So I think sometimes I speak out of turn. Just I haven't had enough time for me to really think about it.
So you don't have enough, you didn't process the information to make the educated decision.
Yeah, I read opinion. One
you,
or two articles, right.
Ran up, just, it, you know, for, well, the first instinct, I guess.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's going
well,
off
this
my
is what
gut.
I think.
But,
right,
yeah,
right.
But sometimes 2 or 3 days to reflect back, you're like, I don't know if I'm that hard stanced on
it. That's why it's always nice, like when you, like a lot of times when we're doing the podcast, like last week when we were talking about the PS5, you know, we had talked about it the night of the reveal.
Yeah.
And I completely shit on it.
Yeah, you hated it that night, but then when we recorded, and we didn't even talk about this, but when we recorded, you weren't as harsh on it.
I wasn't harsh, no, because I had time to process it, and, you know, it occurs to me that over time, you know, that as I had time to think about it, you know, and that's why I changed my, like, I don't like how it looks, but in 3 months, how it looks isn't going to matter.
At all, right.
You know, And that, so, so that initial, holy shit, that's a flaming pile of dog shit. And then, you know, but it doesn't matter because it still plays all the games I want to play. So who cares if it's on fire or dog shit?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I say change my opinion, I think maybe just get a little more educated on my opinion, or,
or let it sink.
Yeah. Just settle. Sometimes things simmer and I just change. It's kind of like, I mean, like, is that, are the looks of the PS5 the hill you're going to die on? Like, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
So your initial shock of being like, cool, I didn't know they partnered with Netgear for the design.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, that's not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
It's,
once you get past that, you're like, it doesn't even matter. Shoving a grapefruit as long as it's got, you know, 4K HDR.
And that's exactly. Yeah. Right. Right. I don't care if it looks like a fucking air fryer.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care if it actually is an air fryer.
Right. As long as it does these things.
Yeah. So I think a lot of times my opinion changes.
I just want to say that way. I will buy the shit out of an air fryer that plays video games, just so you people know that.
So you're talking the PS5 Air Fryer Edition.
Yes, I will buy the shit out of that. I will spend $800 on that.
See, now here's where that gets complicated. Where does it go?
Well, what it is you buy it with the Sony licensed mini freezer.
But where do you... See, so...
So it goes in your room and the mini freezer is where you keep all the frozen stuff that you then put into the air fryer.
See? But history would dictate that like, air fryer goes in the kitchen and the PS5 goes in the media or living room.
I understand that, but now we have the convergence. We can take that away. We don't need to label rooms anymore.
Okay, so so the rooms are all just fluid.
Yes.
The room is what you're doing in it.
My air fryer, you get the Sony, the air fryer, they get the air fryer, PS5 air fryer edition. You can make it white and black with wings. That's fine.
They already got that done, so that's easy enough. Add a basket to the back.
Then they have to do, and if they're smart, they will do the PS5 edition mini fridge, which doesn't play games, but looks like an Xbox Series X. And that's
that design's, that design's ready to go too.
And that's where you keep like the mozzarella sticks and the boneless chicken wings. And
or
when you're
what
hungry,
if?
When you're in the middle of a game, you just pop open an air fryer, boom, boom, 375, 8 to 10 minutes, boom. You got mozzarella sticks and your favorite video game all in one room. You can have it in the living room, in your study, in your game room, in your man cave, in your bedroom. It doesn't matter. It's all fluid.
Now, what if this is the olive branch? Where Microsoft says we'll make the fridge and Sony says we'll make the air fryer, and this is what finally brings them together.
I think you're going to run into issues there. The only reason being is because there's going to be an argument over what plays the games. And if the air fryer is playing the games, Microsoft's want to be involved with the air fryer and vice versa.
What if we just put Game Pass on the air fryer? Win-win.
Mm, that's a good compromise. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's a good compromise.
Worst conversation ever.
I don't know. I feel like we sparked something. We sparked a revolution.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Xbox dishwasher to come out so that I can wash my dishes and play my games all at once.
Has a little screen in it. It's great.
Yeah. I watched, while we're talking about ridiculous stuff, have you watched Upload?
I'm on like episode 8.
Everything on there is ridiculous like that, where it's like AT&T Panera or whatever. Like everything is like merged with stuff that doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah.
Intel, Oscar Mayer.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the future I look forward to.
Did you finish it?
I did finish it.
Did you like it?
So everyone told me to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first episode and did not like it at all.
Okay.
And by the end of it, I really enjoyed it.
Okay. I'm having problems
it's
with it.
It's silly.
It is silly. The problem is I doubt, and it's no fault of the actors or anything, but I don't care about that love story.
Yeah, and that's all it is.
Right. I mean, they're great characters and everything, but they're just not resonating with me.
Yeah.
The problem is because she's kind of bland.
And you're talking about the angel.
Yes. And he's like, up until like the last episode I watched, he was pretty much an asshole about everything.
Yeah.
So he's not really likable. And I see that they're trying to make that arc where he's you know, moving towards that, to being more likable. But I don't. It's not good to have your character start out likable because you have to. I don't think he has the charisma to pull off an asshole like that and make you like him.
Yeah, he's real douchey at first.
The only thing that I am curious about that I will continue to watch it, like when I have a free spare moment, is I want to know where that mystery is going. You know, I'm not going to spoil it, but if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's the answer I want.
Yeah. Yeah, so
and does it come? It. You need to tell me. Does it come? Because if it doesn't come, I'm not watching the rest of the first season.
You will know. You will know like 90% of that.
Like, not necessarily maybe the why, but at least the who.
Oh, you even know the why. You just don't know the outcome. Like, you know, because the thing about that show is it's occurring in the past and in real time.
Right. Right.
So. But you'll know the who and the why.
Okay. I'll continue watching then. That's what I want to know.
And I wasn't right at all.
No?
No. I had like a couple of ideas I was kicking around and it wasn't that. And I was like, okay. It's not like so, like you're not going to be like, holy shit. But.
Oh, not completely mind blowing. But
no, it's not like, it's fucking Ted. You're like, who's Ted? You know, it wasn't like that. But
yeah. No, my thought is the friend. But
yeah, it wasn't an idea I was kicking around.
That was my thought, but I'll find out when I watch it. I got like 4 episodes left, so.
But yeah, I thought that was. But anyways, that reminded me our Xbox fridge and PS5 air fryer reminded me of that show because everything.
Yeah, that virtual world they create in there is awesome. I mean,
yeah, I love that it's a little bit jacked up. It's a little bit glitchy.
Yeah, there's some glitches and stuff. Yeah.
I think that's. Part of the charm for me is it kind of reminds me of a video game world.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to. It's supposed to remind you
because they're not perfect
like,
either, and there's something charming about it being a little bit jacked up.
Yeah. So, I'm with you on that. It's just the story and the characters kind of...
Yeah, I get it.
Certain aspects of the story don't pull me in, and the characters don't pull me in. So, and anyone who's listened to this podcast for any amount of time know how important those things are to me. So.
Quick check of the phone. No response from Gerald Steele.
Oh, no.
Yep. So maybe he got uploaded.
Oh.
Yep.
Ooh. That's not good.
Yeah. Well, it is or it isn't. Depends how you. But depends where he went and how you look at it.
Well, I mean, if you consider it you went into a dark place, dude.
Well, if he's a Horizon family member, it's fine.
Well, if you don't upload, you die. That's, I mean.
Yeah. I think one can electively upload.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
But Gerald doesn't strike me as the electively upload type.
He's probably fine.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he is too.
We'll issue apologies if not.
If necessary.
We'll move on. Yeah.
We only apologize when necessary.
Happy Father's Day. We're recording Father's Day.
Yes.
So happy Father's Day to my father and my stepfather.
My father, my stepfather, my father-in-law, all of them.
Yeah. So all the dads
out there. Any fathers
out there? Yeah. Any papa bears?
Wow.
Any
we
daddies?
At the same time.
Yeah. Any daddies out there?
Not those daddies.
Or those daddies. Everybody gets their day. I'm not here to judge. If you identify as a papa or a daddy or a father, I'm happy day.
No, not those daddies. We're leaving those daddies out of Father's Day. That's a different kind of daddy. It's not what the day's made for.
A lot of people would disagree.
That's more like Prime Day. It's for those daddies.
Yeah, they need a Daddy's Day.
Do they?
Maybe we could sponsor a Daddy's Day. It seems more plausible that we would sponsor Daddy's Day than Father's Day.
Well, okay. I'll give you that.
That's Hallmark. Reach out to us. I've got
that
some
seems much around. More in our wheelhouse. Than,
kicking than, around some ideas already for cards. So just get at me. Oh, man.
So I had a good week on the smart home front.
Oh, that's yeah. You did have a good weekend.
So,
or week, I should say.
Last week, I talked about that I found the floodlights. the Philips Hue floodlights, they were on clearance for $13 at the Walmart I go to. So I'm like, you know what? I don't know much about these. We talked about a little bit last week. I did a little bit of research. I was like, yeah, that might work. That might not. I don't know. Regular bulbs, I've had some semi-problems with in my floodlights outside. I'm like, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy two of them. And I'm going to I'll try them out and see how it works. You know, $13, that's not a bad deal. $28 for two. So I go up to the self-scan, because that's how I roll in Walmart. And rub it over the scan, and it does that beep, wah, 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 thing where it, like, unleashes the beast or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't buzz off, and when you go to leave, say, hey, you're stealing stuff.
Yeah.
And it rings up at $5. I was like, huh, that's not right. Put it in my cart, because fuck it. Not my fault.
Yeah, I'm not the U-scan police.
Right.
I'm not the self-checkout cops.
Yeah, so I grabbed the other one, and I checked the sticker. Okay, because I didn't look at all the stickers. I looked at one sticker, and it's 13, so I assume they all were 13. So I look at it, and it says $13. I'm like, okay, well, beep, $5. I'm like, well, shit. That's a pretty good deal. I'm like, well, I don't want to, you know, go out to the car and go back and blah, blah, blah. So put everything in my car. Came home. Next day, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop at Walmart, see if those other two lights are there, see what they do. So I go up there, run through the whole thing. They all ring up at $5. And I'm like, well, fuck it. So I ended up getting four Philips Hue floodlights for $20.
I'm amazed by your self-control, because I would have took them to the car and went straight back in. I mean, just right back in.
Well, it was
store.
After work. I was ready to get home. And I mean, to be fair, all four of them had been sitting there for a week.
Oh, yeah. But the second that you realize they're $5, someone else will come in and buy them.
Well, what I was afraid would happen was I'd get up there and the other ones would bring up at 13. And I'd be like, well, fuck, I don't want them at 13 now. Fuck.
Well, see, I could see that thought. But when you did two of them at five, I'm confident they're all five.
I was too, but I'm a lot more cynical than you are.
It would have been a real bitch to walk in and them not be $5. You're like, well, motherfucker.
Right. But I had to stop on the way home again anyway. So I was like, fuck it. I went in there and I grabbed them, and I'm like, I'll just get them for 13 if they're 13. I mean, because it's still a good deal.
Right.
But no, they all rang up at $5. So I was like, sweet. Sweet deal.
Now, I didn't have a successful week, but I made a contact who buys pallets, return pallets, kind of like what the Give Me a Five store I go to sells.
Mm-hmm.
They sell everything off the pallets in bins. So I made a contact with someone who buys the pallets directly from Amazon's return warehouse.
Yes.
And they informed me that they have a ton of smart home stuff. So they're going to start sending me some pictures of stuff that I might be interested in.
Oh.
On the cheap, so.
You might need to send me some pictures, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can do that thing where I tell you I want it and you give it to Gerald.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to do this one because they are in Vegas.
Oh, how'd you make this contact?
Through work, actually. So, didn't know they were a reseller. Had nice. A conversation, learned that they are, and they don't mess with the smart home stuff, really. So, bunch of storage units, some trailers full of stuff, and that's not predominantly the focus of the sales. So, and I made it clear, hey, like, I'm not trying to pay retail. Like, if that's the case, I'll just buy it new.
Right.
Like, no, I wouldn't expect retail. And I was like, cool. Cool. So,
yeah.
I'll keep you posted.
You might need to keep me posted on that. And I can do it through you. I can wait a year and a half and keep reminding you until I finally get it. That's fine.
I mean, I sent out that Philips Hue thing pretty quickly.
You did. Yeah.
So I was excited about you getting into the smart home stuff. Now, I think last week, I don't remember anything. I don't know if you talked about the Philips Hue stuff before the show or after the show or on the show.
It was on the show.
Okay, and I don't remember if I talked about the Brilliant Switch on the show.
You talked about it on the show.
Okay, so I'm out on that thing.
Oh, why? What happened?
So I watched a billion videos and read all kinds of stuff, and everything seemed too good to be true. So I went to their...
Okay, go ahead. No, continue.
I went to their FAQ section.
Okay.
And I found in there a quick little blurb that was written basically that said, if you didn't set it up before this date, your Nest camera feeds will not work.
Oh.
Per a lapse in agreement with... So if you use Google, you know they transferred from Nest to Google Home.
Mm-hmm.
When they did that, they basically... They quit letting it work with everything that it already had worked with. So if you've updated from Nest to Google Home, then it will no longer work for that function. So you could still...
It's the other way. Isn't it from Google Home to Nest?
No, it's...
No, when they bought Nest. No, got it. Yep.
So about three or four months ago, they forced everybody. They basically said, we're going to quit updating Nest. It is still Nest, but now you go through your Google account.
Yes, it's Google Nest, I think.
Yeah, so you go through your Google account now instead of your Nest account. Mm-hmm. You still use the app and everything. But anyways, when they did that, they basically severed ties with most of that stuff.
Okay.
And this thing goes on to say that they're trying to work on it, but obviously there's an issue with the data that Google wants, which is what everybody says, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, it doesn't fucking work with my cameras, which is 90% of the reason I would want it.
Right.
Because it works as a badass intercom system.
So you're out.
I'm out right now.
That's fair.
By all other accounts, it works exactly like it's supposed to, and it's incredible.
That's fair.
But I desperately need an interface that works with Nest because half of my system is Nest. All my smoke detectors are Nest. My thermostat is Nest. My cameras are Nest. My alarm system is Nest. Like, I can't go for a whole home solution that covers half my home. I already have that.
Right.
So, just quick, I felt bad after I learned that because I know that probably some of the people on here at least dabble. And so, if you bought the Brilliant Switch, my bad.
Well, the thing is, to be fair, if you dabble, you're probably not buying the Brilliant Switch.
Yeah. You also should have done your own research.
But...
Shouldn't rely on a guy that's on a show about video games to tell you what smart home thing to buy. Oh, Jesus. You pick a different source, asshole.
Way to make it not about you.
I'm not an aficionado, you know, I'm just a fan.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you never...
I think I said I was on the fence.
You didn't push it or, you know, endorse it at all. You just said you were on the fence about it. You were considering it. So, you know,
probably
I think
just
you're safe.
Burn the idea that they would ever sponsor the show now.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
That's
for
probably
that
gone.
Bridge. Burnt that bridge. Good
hey,
job.
But Phillips Hue, I love you, though, if you're listening. I think you're
Phillips.
Overpriced. I think you're way overpriced. I think you're a quality product.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yep.
Overpriced, but you work well.
Yep. I tell everybody, like, I think Nest have the best cameras, way too expensive. Shouldn't buy them. Same thing. Philips Hue, way too expensive, shouldn't buy it. It's the best, though.
Unless you find some of the fucking deals I do.
Unless you find sweet $5 mispriced lights.
I'm telling you what. I peed a little, I think.
How many would you have purchased?
I would have purchased another two.
So you would have done, you've been willing to do six.
Yeah, I have six floodlights outside.
Oh, you could have used all six.
I could have used all six.
You wouldn't have bought any backups?
I would not have, no.
I have
well,
two.
No,
I mean,
once I found out they were $5.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would have bought $60 worth.
Right. You're like, it's not an amount, it's a dollar amount, not a physical amount that I would have been willing to spend.
Because that's the closest, let's see, what is it, 13, yeah, because I thought they were going to be 13. So that
and you're willing to buy four, right.
And I was willing to buy four. Mm-hmm. So what's that? That puts me right at $50, $52, right in that area, $48, something like that.
The very first thing.
26, 40, yeah.
I did was see if any of my stores have any of the bulbs, and they do not. But it wouldn't be... I mean, I know from the past and from doing this before, just because it's on sale at mine doesn't mean it's on sale at yours or vice versa.
Right.
but no store within like 100 miles even showed having any here.
Yeah, because every store, I think like when you go to like Walmarts or Targets or things like that, I think it's up to the store manager what they mark down to clearance and stuff like that. So, but here's what I don't understand is they have the the Samsung Galaxy Duo Pad. Mm-hmm. It's a charging pad. You can put two things on it. Yeah. Well, I got Samsung earbuds and a Samsung phone. Well, that thing's usually $100 and it's on clearance for $90. I'm like, well, that's not a fucking clearance deal. What the fuck?
Yeah, Walmart's super guilty of making something $94, $96. And you're like, that's $6 off. Put that back on the shelf.
With the clearance sticker. And I'm like, that's not a clearance price.
Yeah. Quick update. Producer Gerald is alive and well. He has not uploaded. His internet has been down, which apparently made his phone and thumbs not work. Because he just now let us know, but he said, sorry, my internet's down, just came back up. So shots fired at Producer Gerald there. Now that we know he's safe. Started to feel bad about the jokes up front.
Not me. That's a no-call, no-show, man. I mean.
Yeah. Two more of those and you're fucking gone, buddy. That's how
I don't care if you're late or can't be here. You gotta let me know, man.
Yeah, at least 10 minutes before your shift starts. I mean, at least. Minimum. If this is your first time here, welcome. You can support us over at patreon.com/GameStitch. You don't have to support us. Dan and I are working on some rewards. If you guys can get us to a certain amount, we're going to maybe release some unreleased items out there. So something we're kicking around, let us know. And, if you can support us, do so. If you can't, we understand. Be safe out there. Have fun. Pay your rent first.
Absolutely. Car payments.
Yeah.
Food for your kids.
Feed your kids before you feed
all
us.
All that stuff. Yeah. Feed your animals before you.
Maybe even feed the animals before the kids, depending on your kids.
Well, I'm not going there.
I don't know your kids or your animals.
Yeah, but that's frowned upon by general society, so I'm not swinging it that way.
Well, there's some real shitbag kids out there.
Well, I understand that, but they're still kids.
Don't not feed them, but feed the animal before.
They still have to come
saying.
First. You can't get elbow.
I don't mean in place of one. I mean like feed the dog, then feed the kid.
Oh,
make the kid watch the dog eat.
Oh, yeah, that's a good okay. I misunderstood what you meant.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to starve.
I misunderstood.
If it sounded that way, let me backtrack a little bit.
I misunderstood.
Yeah, this talking thing is hard. It's hard. You never
know. Did you get into any playing anything this week?
I did. So I was on the PlayStation blog. I try to check it daily.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Yeah, what if they just decide to give away PS5s and I'm not on there, So I load in and I see a game called Beyond Blue.
This game looks good.
I'm like, hey, I don't know what the fuck that is, but I see Ocean. It's called Beyond Blue. So immediately, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
So I jump in, I read the article. I'm like, this sounds incredible. They it's in collaboration with BBC America on the whatever their
actual footage from
actual
Planet
scientists
Earth.
Speaking. Yep. And it's a whole thing. And I'm like, this is incredible. They've been working on it for years. I get on there. I get on PlayStation Network. It's $20.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, not a bad deal. That's something I'm going to consider. So I get home that day, and I'm going to buy it, right? I'm determined to buy it.
Right.
And I'm like, let me just make sure it's not on Game Pass. Because it seems like a game that I could play and beat and be done with.
Right.
So I check it's not on Game Pass, but while I'm realizing it's not on Game Pass, I realize it is part of Apple Arcade. Which I subscribe to, and I just got a new iPad.
Okay.
So I fired it up, and I was like, I really want to play on PS4 because of trophies.
Okay, yeah.
But let me see how it is. So I jump in, and I really enjoyed it. I don't if you you should play on it the cheapest way you could play, though. It's not amazing.
Even if you enjoy that type of game?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I will say that I played it half and half between my iPad and my Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
I did finish it on Apple TV. If you've never used Apple Arcade, to sync a controller is amazingly easy. You hold the options and the share button at the same time on your PS, your DualShock 4, whatever the hell that's called, your DualShock. It flashes crazy and immediately connects to your iPad, and then it's just connected. Then it works like a, I can grab that DualShock, I can hit the PlayStation button, and it turns my Apple TV on now.
Okay.
And it works just like a PlayStation at that point. You do have to play this game with a controller, so you cannot play it with just the tablet, because you have to swim.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I really wanted to see it through. As someone who's played multiple Ocean games, it's not the best one I've played.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks really good.
It's got a very heavy-handed story.
Oh, it's okay. I think I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so very early on, you're like, oh, this was in collaboration with someone who cares about the planet.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing, but it's a little aggressive.
You don't need to be beat over the head with it.
Yeah, especially as someone who like was 100% with you before you right. pounded the message in.
Right.
Like, I also don't think we should be fucking up the environment. Like, I also don't like shitheads. Like, you maybe just could have told the story in maybe a little more elegant way. I will say, it did get me in my feels. Even though it was so heavy-handed, I still was... The story's not fun.
No.
No. And it wasn't supposed to be. It probably took 6 to 8 hours to beat it. So it's relatively short.
Look at this.
But yeah, if you have Apple Arcade, maybe it's on... what's the Google Plays called?
I don't know.
The Google Play Arcade or whatever they have, the subscription that they have. Maybe it's over there. Producer Gerald's here. He's going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
He just got here.
He back. He just got in.
Just woke up.
Yeah.
What's the subscription service over there called? Do you know? Google Play. Google Play. Okay, so maybe it's on Google Play. I don't know. If it is, play it over there. If it's just cheaper to buy on the phone, I would say play it over there. If you have like a either a big phone or a tablet to play on, it is $20 on the PlayStation Network. I enjoyed it. Like I said, the story's very heavy-handed. It's not the best Ocean game. You're pretty limited. But there's still something about being in the ocean, and it's very easy to get disoriented in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And
most Ocean games are like that.
But that thing happens, it always happens in those games where you turn and you look up, and right then there's like a whale shark going over your head, and you're like, this is incredible. It's called Beyond Blue, if you want to search for it. But I'm like, this is incredible. So those moments still happened.
Okay.
But it was just not... $20 is probably the right play. Right. It's
there it is. Beyond Blue over there.
And that's not actually
it,
though.
A wallpaper. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it looks like the icon on the first row, second one. That's what the icon actually looks like, but it may not even be on Google.
True. It may not.
But yeah, anyways, I am glad that I experienced it, and I would not have been upset if I paid $20 for it. But I'm glad that I played it. It's PC, Xbox One, PS4. It is not on Android right now.
Nope.
Get it from the Humble Store, Indiegogo, whatever that says.
Indiegala.
Nuven, which sounds like birth control.
Does.
Epic Game Store, Steam. But yeah, you're right. It does look great. It is telling a story. It is. You're scanning fish as you go. Everything is supposed to be incredibly accurate. They use real audio from the whales that were, and they tell you where it came from, and it came from like, you know, different universities and studies and all this stuff. So it is very accurate. But
beats you over the head.
It really beats you over the head.
Is that it? Is that all you played?
I mean, I played the standard. So I started playing GTA again. I wanted to get the money.
Mm-hmm.
So I started playing GTA again. I'd never done the casino stuff, so I'm finding that to be quite entertaining. Quick update on the people that play GTA, still dickheads.
Oh, nice. I did see you playing quite a bit this week.
Yep. That's because I probably was spending 2 or 3 hours trying to do a thing, and I just kept getting killed. See, look at this Beyond Blue. Doesn't it look good?
It does look good.
Yeah.
It's got a good look. I watched the video for it and considered it.
Yeah.
But then I was like, yeah.
You would hate it. You would hate it. I don't think you would hate the gameplay. I think that story would turn you off.
Is that heavy-handed?
Kinda.
Wow.
I guess it
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was that game? Abzu?
Abzu?
Abzu, yeah. Yeah, Abzu's a little more mystical. This is very... Except for the crazy suit that you wear, this is pretty... pretty grounded, I think.
Pretty grounded in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just, I played a little GTA, got back into that. Everybody's still an asshole online. They still kill me all the time when I'm trying not to be killed, but I have to be a CEO, so I can't be impassive, and it's a whole fucking situation. But that game has totally changed, flying cars and motorcycles.
Obviously not in a good way.
Yeah. The game's fun.
Some of it's good, but
yeah,
the people suck.
People suck. That part didn't change.
That's right. It's all the same.
And then played some Rocket League, played some Wreckfest.
Oh, you got back into Rocket League, huh? How's that?
Yeah, played a lot of. I enjoyed it. I miss it. I got to play it more. I'm just not comfortable not playing it as little as I'm playing. I love that game still.
I haven't played that game forever.
So I got back into that.
Really haven't. Yeah, I should probably get back into it. We still got you, Ryan? You still here? Oh, no. I think we lost him. Did he get booted? Ryan got booted. He'll be back. In the meantime, I'll fill with what I played. Pretty much the same. I didn't play nearly any Animal Crossing this week. Just because. I don't even know why.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't play any of that. Very little bit. I played some more Borderlands 2 on the Game Pass. Still going through that. Getting prepared. Borderlands 3 is coming out with some new DLC, so I'm getting ready to get into that. I'll be picking that up eventually. And the reason I say eventually is because I did purchase The Last of Us 2.
Before you start, you play that on PlayStation Now.
Oh, yeah. What'd I say?
Game Pass.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no,
that's PlayStation. I didn't want everybody to be confused. Yeah.
No, it's on PlayStation Now on the PlayStation. That's where I'm playing Borderlands 2. That's correct. Yeah. That's it. Bounty of Blood, the DLC is coming out. It's going to have a Western vibe to it, so I'm excited about that. Like I said, I probably won't purchase that as soon as it comes out, because right now I picked up Last of Us 2, and I'm playing through that. So giving that a start. Very early in it. You have to be a special kind of person to play this game. I'm not super far into it, but this game is brutal.
That seems to be the word of choice for anyone trying to talk about this game.
Yeah, this game is brutal. No matter what happens, you feel like you're a garbage person.
Yeah.
Playing through this. Even though it's for the right reasons. You understand the reasoning behind it. You feel like you are a piece of trash. And you don't deserve to walk the earth. I don't say this about very many games, but this is a game that I actually have to... When I'm playing it, I have to take a break from it. I have to stop playing it to get back into real life to be like, okay, yeah, I'm not a shitbag.
Yeah, apparently that's pretty common too.
I'm all right. I'm a decent person. It looks beautiful. It's probably the best looking game on the PS4, honestly. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it's weird. Every time someone talks about that game, they're like, it's so brutal and so like discouraging.
Yeah,
but not at fault. Like it's not. It's supposed to be that way.
Yeah, it's not discouraging. It's almost, I guess, hopeless.
Yeah.
It's probably a good word. It makes you feel hopeless. But there's nothing that happens in the game that doesn't feel like this is how it would really play out if this were to happen, you know? And that's part of the discouragement. That's part of why you have to take the break and get away, because you feel like that if this sort of scenario were to happen in the real world, it would go down like this. This is how people would treat each other.
Yeah, what's great about this is, relatively speaking, I think everyone said, hey, we don't need another Last of Us. Like, you wrapped it up.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people had no idea where they would go from here. And I feel like no one expected it to just be miserable.
Yeah, no, I don't think they did either. I haven't gotten far enough in. I'm sure there's going to be like those small glimpses of hope.
So sure, maybe.
I feel like there's going to be, but I think what's important is, and I didn't really think about it about the first game until I started playing this game a little bit. There was some moments of beauty and, you know, some moments of hope in the first Last of Us. And like I said, I think you'll see them in Last of Us 2, but those glimpses of hope you got, they were never glimpses of hope for humanity. They were glimpses of hope for the world, for nature, i.e. spoiler alert, if you haven't played the game, turn it off now. In the first Last of Us, there's the moment with the giraffes.
Yep.
That's a beautiful moment.
Yeah, very popular moment.
But that's a moment about the earth and nature. There is no of those hope scenarios for humanity itself, for mankind. So I think that's an important distinction to make, that in the Last of Us games, regardless of who you play as, regardless of who you sympathize with, you're the bad guy. You're always the bad guy. Humanity is the bad guy.
What I think is so smart, though, is that everyone was like, how do they follow this up? It'll never be as good. And this came out and everybody just, no one's thinking about it being the follow-up. Everybody's like, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think it's weird because you think back to 5-10 years ago, everyone came on the E3 stage and said, we want to make you feel, we want to make you cry.
Right.
And I think to certain points people have achieved that, but I don't think anyone's made anyone feel like brutality the way that this game, like universally.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I don't ever played this game. I know you said one of your concerns was, you know, the torture porn aspect of it.
Murder porn, yep.
Murder porn.
I haven't heard any of that.
I don't think it is that.
It's apparently way sadder than that.
But the way it makes you feel,
yeah,
almost feels like it should be that.
Yeah. Well, I heard someone say they had to take a shower after they played one time.
Well, I didn't have to take a shower,
but that's crazy to me.
I can see that, though.
You needed a break from your break.
Right.
Like a break from real life.
But yeah,
you need a break from that.
I mean, this is not a game. I can tell you right now, I don't care who you are, because I am not one of the most empathetic people. I don't have super feelings about a lot of things, but this game, you're not going to sit down and plow through. You're going to be playing this game in increments because you have to, or it will affect you in a way that you don't want to be affected.
I'm way more intrigued by this than the first one.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you what, Naughty Dog has done an amazing thing with this game. This game has newborn mode, it has baby mode, it has toddler mode, it has 5-year-old mode. All the difficulties, all that stuff can work on a slider.
Oh, good. So that's also encouraging to me.
That's what I've got. I've got everything maxed out to, man, like I just came out of the womb.
Right. Like I barely can hold the controller. Like my coordination is barely good enough for that.
because I've said it before, I like playing these games for the story, the characters, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's not to say I'm not far enough in it really to know how easy that mode is actually going to be, but I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. I'm not going to spoil the difficulty sliders, but there's different things you can change within the difficulty itself. Different aspects of it as far as, you know, vulnerability, how many resources you find.
Let me ask you this. Is there a stealth slider?
There's a version of a stealth slider.
Okay. Where that bitch all the way down to the negative.
Like it takes people longer to notice you.
Okay, good.
If you lay all the way prone, you're invisible.
Good. I like that. So I felt positive. You know, I was really lukewarm about this game. I thought it'd be great, but I didn't know that I even cared to play it. But when Neil Druckmann came out before and said, hey, the goal here, just so you know, was to make somebody feel about this game. So either love it or hate it, but the worst thing possible was someone to feel okay about it.
Yeah.
And that made me excited about it because that told me right there that they took a risk and they did what they wanted to do. And that may not, like, no warm and fuzzies. Like, I got that vibe immediately when he said that.
Yeah.
Like, you may hate this, and that's way better than being okay. The worst thing to do is to spend years making a game that people think is okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's there's some roughness to it. I do think it's a game. I'm not even that far into it. But I think it's an experience people need to have.
It's apparently pretty lengthy, too.
Yeah, apparently it is. 30 or so hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Long.
But you're not sitting down and busting this game out in 30 hours. So don't think you are.
Up on life after, right?
Then there's a special place somewhere for you. Whether it's prison, whatever. Because I don't know. Like I said, I'm not that kind of guy that gets that affected by things like that. You know, but I gotta put this down for a little bit. I need to go do something else.
Rainbows and butterflies somewhere.
Yes.
Play something fun.
I just need something pretty for a second.
Now, Gerald, are you interested? So you're going to play it, just not yet. I think I'm in the same boat. However, I leave the house today, I may buy it, so.
I ended up pre-ordering it because I knew I was going to play it. Like I said, I wasn't super excited about it, but I wanted to know what it was.
I knew that you... So for the record, I've not seen you play this at all. I just knew you bought it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you had played it. So I actually have a bunch to do today. So I actually already wrote the blurb for the show.
Oh, you did?
So as soon as I edit, I could just pop it up. And I called the episode Dan Part 2. I just already knew you had played it. I just knew it. We haven't talked about it. I just filled in my balls that you had played this game.
Yeah, yeah.
And that you would have a lot to say about it. So I called it Dan Part 2.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great name.
It is a great name.
And I had that feeling. And
I did.
I actually thought that you talking about it would maybe make me not want to play it, but it makes me want to play it even more because I know...
You know me, and it amazes you how affected I am by it.
Yeah, because everyone has said, like, hey, this game's kind of tough. Like, not hard, but like hard to sit through.
To fathom, yeah.
And I didn't expect, I figured you'd be like, it's crazy awesome. I just didn't think you'd have any kind of like emotional reaction to it at all.
Right. Like my dark, cold heart wouldn't be affected in the same way as all those normal people.
Exactly. Yeah. I never thought you'd use the word brutal like in a way like that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, it's there are you'll feel it. Some games when you play them, you feel like, you know, you're just kind of just trogging through it, you know, just to finish it, just to play it because you don't have anything else to do. This game you feel it for a different reason, that you're like trogging through it and you're like, oh my God, I got to stop. I got to stop. I need a break. So, yeah. Yeah, I am, in quotations, looking forward to continuing through this story. I am also a little bit afraid of going through this story because I'm worried about what I am literally worried about once I finish this game, how I'm going to feel.
Right.
What I will think. I don't think there'll be any way I hate the game, but I think it's going to be, it's a good game. Everybody who made it is a piece of shit for making me feel this way. I'm afraid that's how I'm going to end up. And those are just two, you know, opposite that I can't reconcile just yet. Maybe more so when I get through it. So we'll see. I'll keep everybody updated, but, yeah, it's something. It's nothing else like it.
Yeah. Shout out to Naughty Dog for taking a risk.
It's not Uncharted, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. That's yeah. So I'm going to also move to maybe happier news. I don't know. I'm going off the script immediately. I didn't send you the story.
Oh.
But Billy Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's got half his records back. So yeah. Guinness Records have come out and they have reinstated Billy's records. Twin Galaxies still have not.
Right.
So again, he's got half his records.
Half his records are back.
Now, look, I don't know where anyone sides on Guinness. They're a little bit silly now. They're owned by Ripley's. You can just get one, I think. You could just get a record. I think it's pretty simple to get one now through them because their money's in selling books and all that stuff.
Right.
But whatever, however you look at it. But Guinness has reinstated Billy Mitchell. And according to Guinness World Records Editor-in-Chief Craig Glenday, Guinness reviewed existing evidence, newly sourced eyewitness testimony, new expert gameplay analysis, and hardware verification. Guinness didn't necessarily rule out foul play, but found that it just wasn't sufficient evidence to support the disqualification across the board. After reviewing Billy's gameplay and reproducing similar games myself, I can honestly say that it is legitimate gameplay, Robbie Lakeman, the current Donkey Kong High Score record holder, said in a statement. Shared by Ars Technica. I did not see the reason why Billy would need to ever use MAME or save states to film both games with his style of play. Now, I will say that he recreated the Donkey Kong or the Pac-Man kill screen with a audience in 2019. And he has apparently replicated his Donkey Kong score with eyewitnesses as well.
Yes.
I mean, there's no doubt that he's good at these games. Did he cheat? Probably.
Probably.
If there's a guy walking this earth I don't trust, it's Billy Mitchell. And I don't mean that in a bad way. He is just a shady rascal.
He comes off shady and sleazy. He's like that.
You love to hate him.
Backstreet casino owner, you know?
You love
not
to
on the
him.
Main strip, like off in an alley somewhere.
And he's a hot sauce mogul. Like, this guy is bizarre. But he does live streams. He's recreated his records. Like, here's the live stream where he's playing. So congrats to Billy. Now he is suing Twin Galaxies for defamation. That is scheduled to start on July 6th for that hearing. So I don't know, but congrats to Billy. I wanted to add that cause I know we had covered the drama.
We have. Yeah. We did cover the drama, but yeah, congrats to him. I mean,
right, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it's important to him, and he's accomplished it, so there you go.
That hair. Hair's important in the world.
Straight out of 88, man.
Man, look how gross. So we're watching a live stream. Like, somebody couldn't wipe the glass off on the machine, the cabinet?
Are you sure that's not just the glare?
No, look at the bottom. Look at the bottom. Those are smudges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There is a glare, but it looks like they used Dan's air fryer.
It's all fingered. Yeah, I see it.
They look like they used Dan's air fryer and ate those wings and then played this with their hands.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Let's jump on to the actual stories. We'll go kind of quick here. We don't run too long. Cyberpunk 2077 delayed again.
Yeah, just for fine-tuning, not because it's not done. They said it is complete, but they're just fine-tuning and working out some more bugs and glitches. I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that PS5 is actually going to be getting Cyberpunk 2, and it is going to be upgraded. So I'm assuming that's probably what they're working on, and they're going to release those pretty close to each other, if not day and date.
So it's coming out November 19th, the heavily rumored PlayStation 5 release date. But the oddity here it would be that, by all accounts, Cyberpunk seems to be aligned with Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
They have a special edition Xbox. They did the Keanu thing on Xbox stage. So a lot of people are saying this is the PS5 launch date, and they have pushed it so that they can be on PS5 and blah, blah, blah. I don't know whether they'll be ready that soon with the PS5 and Xbox Series X, you know, versions. That's not something you could have decided a week ago. They can't just check the PS5 box and have it ready.
Right.
But a lot of speculation, and they've shifted for that. I would say that there's probably a lot involved in this decision. The world is in a little bit of a strange place right now, and logistics are definitely not as easy as they were when they decided on that September date.
That's true.
So November 19th, it is only slated at this point for Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Though I think you're crazy if you don't think you'll see it on PS5 and Series X.
Oh, yeah, me too. Along these same routes, EA did their EA Play this week.
And, yeah, they did.
They announced Skate 4. That was their big announcement of the Skate Play, or of the EA Play, was Skate 4 is coming.
I wondered how much EA wanted to make Skate 4 and how much they just wanted everybody to shut up.
Yeah. I mean, this does nothing for me.
It does nothing for me either, but
everybody's been talking about Skate 4, plus Tony Hawk's coming out with a remaster, so
I can honestly say I don't know that I've ever seen a bigger outcry for any game ever
than Skate 4.
And I don't know why people care.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's become like a running joke of the internet to just badger EA about making Skate.
Right.
And they actually said, let's see who said this. Cuz Perry.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Creative director.
Yeah.
So he thanked the fans for their enthusiasm and patience. He went on to say that Skate is only happening because of the fan fever for it. You commented this into existence.
Right. You wouldn't shut up. So we're shutting you up now.
Bizarre.
Weird. So weird.
Skate has only sold 2.68 million.
Yeah.
That's not nothing.
It's not nothing, but
it's not Animal Crossing numbers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel the same. I'm not jazzed up about this. I just wanted to report on it because...
Gotcha, yeah.
Gerald Hard passed as well. I guess we should stick with...
Star Wars?
Yeah, the EA story that is out of order here.
Yeah.
So, a leak happened. Things get a little leaky, you know?
Sometimes.
And the Xbox website might have accidentally posted a Star Wars game that was unannounced. And then EA just came out and confirmed it with a trailer. And it is Star Wars Squadrons.
Yep. Space combat campaign. It's going to have multiplayer. And it's going to have no microtransactions.
I love that EA now has to explain they announce the game that it won't have microtransactions.
Yep, that's what EA did. They brought it on themselves, man. Don't feel bad. You're going to be able to play as either one of the Rebels or as one of the X-Empire. This game takes place in between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. So it's going to chronicle a little bit of the rise of the First Order, I believe. So the campaign, you can play as either or. And I think it's 5-man battles if you play multiplayer. Again, it's going to be, we'll call them pre-First Order versus the Rebels or whatever you want to call them at that point. It looks okay. I'm never really a big one for space battles, so I don't know. But it looks cool. There's never anything wrong with Star Wars, so.
Yeah, this doesn't do anything for me, but I know people want more Star Wars, though. So.
Yeah, and there's people that have been looking forward to something like this ever since, Rogue Alliance? What was it? The N64 one.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I can't remember what it's called, but people have been yearning since then. Is it Rogue Squadron?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think it was Rogue Squadron. Some people have been chomping at the bit for a Star Wars flight sim / space combat game again, so they're getting one.
The one little blurb that sort of, you know, perked me up a little bit is it does have VR support.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I'm listening. But it also reminds me of like Eve Valkyrie, the way that that kind of played, and I think it would be very similar to that in VR, with a Star Wars overlay.
And just for an added bonus for some of you hardcore Star Wars fans out there like me, keep a close eye on the trailer for some cameos from some of your favorite TV shows and the movies.
Yeah, so Star Wars Squadrons.
Indeed.
Let's jump back up to another game that I'm not sure that many people care about. Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, has leaked thanks to the Taiwanese rating board. Following a tease that dated back to November 2019, Crash Bandicoot 4 has now been officially leaked thanks to the Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee. Mm-hmm. The listing states the game is being developed for PS4 and Xbox One with an Xbox Series X compatibility, which I think is odd. I guess that's through smart delivery, not necessarily an Xbox Series X version.
Right.
The listing also includes a blurb that's been translated by Gamatsu for the first numbered sequel since Crash Bandicoot 3 Warped on the original PlayStation, which is the last series to be developed by The Last of Us Part 2 developer Naughty Dog. It mentions new mask, a series stalwart, and a familiar companion for Crash. It's a relaxing exploring his island. In his time, 1998, when he finds a mysterious mask hidden away in a cave, he goes on. So here's what's happening. Look, it shows like a bunch of masks. And there's a lady, what is Crash?
She's a Bandicoot, yes. Maybe?
Yeah, I forgot what he was. So it's a lady Bandicoot, I guess.
It's right in the title, dude.
She doesn't look like him, though.
She doesn't. Maybe she's something different. She almost looks like a rabbit.
And they show
ears
masks.
Or hair?
I think that's hair, but it looks like ears because they're on both sides.
Yeah.
Anyways, here's what's happened. They remastered those Crash Bandicoot games. People went a little nuts over them. So they said, hey, obviously people want a new Crash Bandicoot. I bet they don't.
Yep, I'm not thinking they do either. But I'm thinking nostalgia played a big part in that.
Time will tell, anyways. Mm-hmm. I didn't do a great job reading that story because I'm just wondering who this is for. But Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, is coming out. I'll tell you, based off of this leak, I'm thinking about this, and I think about Ratchet and Clank, and I played Ratchet all day.
Before Crash, yeah.
Before Crash. The PS5 UI will be 100% overhauled. We saw a glimpse of the new OS for Sony's console during the PS5 reveal last week, but the company official has offered some fresh details about the look and feel of the console's dashboard. Like all great stories, you want them to come from LinkedIn. And this one did. Mac McLaurin, the vice president of UX design over at PlayStation, said that the console's UI is 100% overhaul from the PS4 UI and very different new concepts. As its UI, it's practical first, but the whole new visual language and complete re-architecting of the user interface. All hot breaking stories come from LinkedIn, and so did this one. The UI is going to feel different. I think everyone knew they were going to get away from the cross media bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Xbox is also getting away from the blades or whatever the hell they call those. the tabs.
Yep, tabs, blades.
So not a shock here, but I thought that any story coming from LinkedIn is some one I wanted to share.
That's fair.
For sure, that guy not supposed to be commenting like that. No way that guy was supposed to say that on LinkedIn.
If you're going to say it somewhere and you don't want it to get out, it's usually LinkedIn.
Yeah, what a world we live in. He couldn't even say it over there without somebody finding it.
Right.
I thought this was interesting. The first FDA-approved prescription video game to help treat kids with ADHD. So the Food and Drug Administration has approved the first video game. It is called Endeavor RX. We're using technology to help treat a condition in an entirely new way as we directly target the neurological function through medicine that feels like entertainment. Family who are looking for new ways to help out their children with ADHD. Medicine way to try to treat it. You do need a prescription for it. It's a little cloudy.
I think it's important to note, Ryan, that this is being included as use as part of a therapeutic program, not as the only therapeutic program. So it's going to be used in conjunction with therapy, medication, that kind of thing. Not a standalone like pill you take for whatever.
Yeah. So what's confusing because it says that you need a prescription for the device. It's not something you can just get without a prescription, but I don't know if you get a tablet from your doctor, if that's the case, or if it's just an app you can download because it says device.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't necessarily know that this works or doesn't work. I'm not the world's biggest fan of medicating someone, especially a child, but I don't have ADHD or ADD or any of that stuff. So right. I'm not a good resource for any of that information. I did go to school with some friends who were on that, and they were very much like zombies when they were off of it. And they were like little psychopaths when they were not taking it. So
looking for a middle ground is what you're saying.
Yeah. So if this could potentially help and maybe lower the dosage of medication or wipe it out, then I'm all for it. They play in 30-minute clusters 5 days a week, and it is designed to, like I said earlier, stimulate that part of their brain while also, engaging them as a fun game, right? They're not doing something different. I like the idea of, like, I don't have to be different than my friends and take medicine, you know, maybe I can just play games just like them.
Right.
I like the idea of it, but I was more interested in that. The avenues that maybe this opens.
Yeah, if you see success with this,
Or success.
Or
sexist.
Or sexist. If they see some success with this, you may see more of these types of programs coming around, hopefully to eventually take the place of medicine and be the middle ground you were talking about earlier.
It's interesting that the FDA... somebody was either convincing enough or the product itself was convincing enough that the FDA was like, let's see.
Let's try this.
Which, you know, I don't know. Maybe it works like you just pay them enough money and if it's not harmful, they approve it. I don't know. I've never submitted any ideas. This show, you may find it's hard to believe, not FDA approved.
It's not FDA disapproved either, though.
No, it's not. They don't even know it exists.
So, right. So, there's that.
But yeah, if that's something... that obviously impacts you or your family, Endeavor RX. Maybe something to ask your child's physician about.
Yeah. And so, big news this week from Google, they cut the price of Stadia, the starter kit, to $100 from $130.
Yeah, so they changed the way that their Premier starter package works. It was $130. It included a three-month trial of their Stadia Pro. It is now $99 and does not include that trial, which I think is a smarter way to do it.
Yeah, I did too.
I think $100 is pretty reasonable because you're getting...
I think it knocks it back down to that price point I originally talked about it needed to be at.
You're getting the controller and the Chromecast Ultra for that price. Mm-hmm. And you obviously can't buy those two things together for anywhere around that price.
Right.
Because I think the Chromecast Ultra is like $60 or $70 and the controller is also the same, so...
Yep.
That Wasabi controller is still gangster.
Yeah, I know you still like that.
Still super good. I wondered, you know, you keep saying you're going to wait for it to work with your Chromecast. Does this do anything for you?
Nope.
At the 100?
Nope.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever commented. So I had originally said that your games go away that you don't claim, or that you claim. Right. They don't. But I have noticed that when I go to my Stadia Pro games, I don't see all my games. So I listen to a different show, and I don't know if I may have already corrected this, but I listened to a different show. They said they went away. I noticed mine weren't all there, so I made the comment on here that they all go away. But that's not true. So I don't see them in my Stadia Pro section anymore, some of them. But if I just search for all games, I do see them, and they still show claimed, and I can still play them.
Okay.
So it may just be a sorting issue, because the one that stood out the most was Farming Simulator no longer shows up under my Stadia Pro games.
Uh-huh, but you do still have it.
But I do still have access to it, so.
Yeah. No, and part of the problem for me is I just don't think that the library is not there for me yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
I mean, everything they've got is a bunch of games that I've already played on PS4. This may change as we see. To be fair to that, this thing released for real in February, and 2 weeks later, the country went into lockdown. So as we see more new games coming out for consoles, if they start coming to Stadia as well, I may change my mind. But right now, there's just nothing there to cause me to need to spend more money on it.
Should lockdown and take away the... Let me speak from a selfish business standpoint.
Sure.
Should lockdown and everything that was going on not have helped Stadia in a way that I... Because you don't need anything for it. To be clear, you can grab your PC right now, you can grab a PS4 controller, and you can play Stadia.
Yeah, but most everything that people would be interested in, they can buy for $20 on Xbox or...
Yeah. So I don't mean those people. I mean the people who were stocking out stores, risking getting COVID to try to get a Switch or to have something to do at home. You haven't been able to find PS4 Pros anywhere. You haven't been able to find Switches anywhere.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for the Switch, you're looking for a different experience than you're getting on Stadia.
I guess so. You should have heard more of a pop about people who are like, hey, I tried Stadia while I was stuck at home, and it is amazing. And I don't think and probably rightfully so, but they weren't marketing it. You know, they weren't pushing hard, running commercials, things like that.
Right, they weren't. But they also, it goes back to that library. That library is not worth spending an extra $100 to then buy those games.
Right, but you could do it without spending any money, I guess, is my thing. I feel like I should have heard more people talking about it when you don't need anything to get. You can get Stadia right now for $10 a month and have access to 15 games or whatever it is.
Yeah, but I think most people don't play that way.
All you need is your laptop and any other controller you might already have.
Yeah, those people are probably already playing through Steam or Humble Bundle playing those games that are already on, that they already have probably. Because the few big titles they do have are not, you know, super recent titles.
Yeah, they're still pretty bullish, man. They say they're going to have 120 exclusives by the end of the year.
Yeah, I know they say that, but if they do, great. But right now, they don't. Right now, it's not worth it to me.
I'm just wondering why more people aren't trying it when there's no real barrier to entry with that if you already have a PlayStation. Like right now, you could end this show and go try Stadia.
I could, but...
And you would think with people stuck at home and so many people wanting an outlet to try to entertain themselves, that it's just, you've heard a million stories about everything else, but Stadia seems to have gotten lost in a time where they should have been most popular.
I think it goes back to that, again, that library. Right now, it's not worth it to unhook your controller from whatever it took to and sync it up to the computer to play a game you probably have already played or... Yeah. Probably have already owned on a smaller screen.
It's definitely concerning. It's concerning there wasn't more.
You know, they had no exclusives. They have nothing that says you have to get a Stadia for this. They don't have that right now.
Yeah, the few they have are definitely not system sellers, I guess.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, they don't have a halo. They don't have a.
Just think they have to do a better job explaining. I think so many people are like, I have to spend $100 to try Stadia, and it's like you don't. No, you don't.
Right. You do with the computer in order to get the controller and the.
If you want the controller on your TV, then yeah, you might need to spend $100.
Right.
If you have a Chromecast Ultra, all you need is a controller. You know, if you don't care what controller you use, you may only need the Chromecast. I mean, it just depends. There are ways to do it. Or like I said, you could literally just buy the game you want, or you can just do the Stadia Pro or Premiere, they may call it now.
I'm sticking with library. I'm sticking with library is the problem.
It's unfortunate. They have a lot of big-name talent over there, and I assume that they're in it for the long haul, but... to go through a time where people were begging for, where trolls can do the kind of money that it did, that no one was talking about Stadia is concerning to me.
No, I get it.
Last story, the World Video Game Hall of Fame, which is in Dan's backyard.
Yeah, it is.
Has released their list of its Hall of Fame inductees for 2020. The Strong Museum, National Museum of Play, released their finalist, and they chose from those finalists. Those finalists were Bejeweled, Centipede, Frogger, GoldenEye, 007, Guitar Hero, King's Quest, Minecraft, NBA Jam, the Nokia Snake game, which I thought was a strong contender, Super Smash Bros. Melee, Uncharted 2 Among Thieves, and Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. Those were the finalists. They picked their four inductees for 2020.
Yep. The first game was Bejeweled. Was praised for popularizing the match three mechanic. Next up was Centipede. It was noted as being one of the most commercially successful titles of the arcade's golden age. From that same time period, King's Quest made the cut. It's considered a landmark title for narrative and storytelling in games. And the final edition was Minecraft for the fact that it's like Minecraft. It's fucking huge. It took over the world, you know?
I don't hate this list, but I got to tell you, I would have loved to see them pull King's Quest out and put the Nokia Snake. Just because I'm afraid. So when I read that list, Frogger, it'll get in. GoldenEye will get in. Guitar Hero, probably get in. NBA Jam, Super Smash Bros. Melee, it'll get in. Uncharted, it'll get in. Carmen Sandiego, I don't know, but I felt this might be the only time Nokia Snake could have maybe made it in.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
So I would like to have seen that switch. I would like to see King's Quest come out because I think it still gets in, and the Nokia Snake go in this year. That would have been the one thing I maybe would have done different. I also might have put Frogger over Centipede, if we're being honest.
Yeah, that's a close one.
Yep. I think Bejeweled is. I think what Bejeweled has done is crazy because Match 3 is everywhere now.
Yep.
And Minecraft is
Minecraft.
Is a powerful beast.
Yeah, I could see Centipede or Frogger being interchangeable.
Yeah.
Either way, either one of them would get in. I do think Centipede came out before Frogger, so.
It's just if I look at that list, like when I get down to that one, I'm like, oh yeah, everyone I knew played that Snake game. On their Nokia shitty Snake. Nokia bar phone.
Yep. On that brick.
Yeah. So it's kind of a playful entry that I would have liked to have seen get in. So, yeah.
That's it. Yep. That's all the news.
So we will move on to shout outs. Like I said, if you head over to patreon.com/GameStitch, you can support us over there. We've got some stuff that we're going to potentially release.
Patreon only.
And I will
working on it.
I will let Zach and Thomas know who already support us. We will make that visible for you two. Either way. So if we don't accomplish what we kind of set out to do, I'm going to make those available to you guys either way for supporting us for so long through all the hard times, through all the good times. So we're going to get you that extra stuff so you can at least have a laugh at it or maybe hate it. But either way,
wonder why there wasn't more.
Either way, we don't want you to feel okay about it.
Right. So, you either have to love it or hate it.
Yeah.
Don't feel okay about it.
But I will get that out to you guys. I'll reach out to you to kind of see what maybe the best way to do is. I will probably just put it up over at Patreon, though. And just, you'll be able to watch it. So, normally we do shout outs here, but I just want to thank those guys for sticking with us and let them know that we're going to put that content out for them either way.
Though that's their shout outs to each other.
Yeah. Or to us,
to us,
to each other from us. It really has nothing to do with them.
Yeah. It could go that way.
Like most things we do.
Yeah.
It has to do with it. We're going to give you more of us, just what you wanted. You're welcome. If you want to follow us on the social medias, I am at Podcast Ryan. Dan is at Shirtless Dan. Gerald is late, but he's at Hoffman Show.
Yeah.
Because you may not listen, or you may listen, so we should be up front. We made a lot of jokes about why you might not have been here. Then we got concerned maybe something was wrong when you didn't get on, and then we wanted to take some of the jokes maybe back.
And by we, he means him.
He mostly me, because he didn't seem to care.
He's the one who made the tasteless jokes.
They weren't tasteless. They were good.
They were. The upload one was good.
Yeah, I thought you uploaded, which only makes sense if you watch that show.
Right. I did question the no call, no show, because two more and you're done.
Yeah. Yeah, because you said your internet was down, but I didn't think that affected your cell reception.
Affected your cell reception and your thumbs.
So now he's saying AT&T and the internet was down.
It's, now everything was down.
It's story's getting a little thick now.
Yeah.
The show's better with you, so we're glad you made it back for the end. You got there in time to remind me. It's called Google Play, which is something that seems like I could have remembered, but I didn't. So, yeah. Thank you to everybody. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Gerald. Thank you, Naughty Dog, for making it hard for people to sleep at night.
Or live with themselves.
Right. Or question if they're a good person or not. And we will be back next week, same time, same place. Be safe out there. Be good to each other, and good night.
Good night.